You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Do you love history? I know you love history.
I love history.
There's some really cool history right here, not too far from where we live in the St. Louis area. Head a little south down to Perry County. There's a great center and museum that shares all kinds of great Lutheran history. We're going to learn about that. And they have an upcoming conference that is very interesting topic. So we're going to chat about that in just a moment. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University St. Paul. You can learn more about Concordia University St. Paul by visiting csp.edu. Joining us today is Denise Helweg. She's director of Lutheran Heritage Center and Museum. Denise, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I am so glad to have you in studio because your organization, Lutheran Heritage Center and Museum, is our KFUO Organization of the Week, and you've got something fun coming up in October. Not only do you, as a Heritage Center and Museum, have lots of great history all in this one building or this one site, but you have an event coming up, and we're going to talk about that conference coming up in October. But before we dig into all the fun things coming up, let's let's revisit some history. Because the Lutheran Heritage Center and Museum is all about great history.
So we've got a lot of history.
And telling the story of Lutherans who came here many years ago. Let's talk about that group of 700 German Lutherans who left their homes, farms, and businesses to come here to Missouri to settle and make a new beginning. Why did they leave?
There's actually a couple of reasons, one of which is religious. They were Germany at the time. They were being told this is how you need to conduct your services. This is what you need to be saying and what you need to be doing. And they're like, no, I don't think so. That's not what we want to do. And so that was a push. But then also an economic, the Industrial Revolution. And so a lot of them were actually losing their jobs. A lot of the immigrants were weavers and other tradesmen. And as the that was getting more mechanized, they lost their source of income. And so there was not a whole lot of reason for them to stay. Mm-hmm. And so leaving became, even into a new country in which they really didn't know what to expect, was a worthwhile choice.
Mm-hmm. What was that journey like for them? This was not an age of airplanes and hopping on a plane and being in a new country in a couple of hours. What was that?
What was that journey like for them? It was several months long. I don't have all the information right at my fingertips. I've been in this position for just over a year and lived in that area for just over two. So I'm still kind of trying to get that whole thing in my mind. But to give you an idea, over the course of the month and a half that they were leaving, they took five different ships, but only four made it to the port in New Orleans. The Amalia was lost at sea, and nobody knows what happened to it. They were waiting for it, and it just never showed up.
What did they find when they got here to Perry County?
When they got to Perry County, they found the area looked a lot like home. My understanding is that's one of the reasons why they chose it. Evidently, that they came to Missouri specifically because of travel literature at the time was evidently a fairly popular thing. There had been somebody from Germany that had come and actually spent some time somewhere else in Missouri. The name of the place is escaping me right now. Wrote about that, published a book in German that was pretty broadly spread in Germany. And so some of the people in the immigrant society looked at that and said, hey, Missouri sounds like a good place to go.
Missouri is the place you gotta be.
Apparently.
Exactly. And actually, once they got to Perry County, things were hard. One of the things that I found most fascinating that I've learned since being here is that when they were coming up the Mississippi River from New Orleans to St. Louis, because they came to St. Louis first, was around the same time that the Cherokees were crossing the Mississippi on the Trail of Tears. And so just kind of an interesting, I always find it fascinating when different parts of history intersect and you realize that it happened at the same time.
Yeah.
And it kind of brings a whole new understanding of what was going on at the time.
Wow.
So what do we know about their early years? here, especially in Perry County. What do we know about the early years for the Lutheran immigrants who settled there?
It was hard. Yeah. We know that. They weren't prepared because, like I said, a lot of them were tradesmen. Not many of them were farmers. A lot of them were pastors and were students, pastoral candidates. That's part of the reason. While education was an important part, that's one of the reasons why the first permanent structure that they built was actually the original log cabin college. That they built that before they built a church. But and so they had to figure things out. and it was kind of a hard go. Disease was a big problem, as was, fortunately, there were some, in one of the neighboring towns of Brazos, there was already an established Presbyterian church, and members of that church in particular were instrumental in kind of coming and showing them what needed to be done to survive. And to not only thrive.
Yeah.
In that.
Yeah. Do you have more information about that? I know that that's a story that we always find really interesting, how other people who are already here helped the settlers, the Lutheran settlers. Do you have more of that story?
I do know that there was at one point one of the pastors, somebody rode up on horseback. They weren't sure, had no idea who they were. They rode up on horseback, dropped off some food at their front door and turned around and left.
Yeah, and the language was, I don't know, with the Presbyterians.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, yeah. The immigrants all spoke German.
Yeah.
I mean, and so language was a huge barrier. But yeah, he just kind of.
The Scotsmen were dropping off food for the German immigrants, the Scottish Presbyterians dropping off food for the German Lutherans.
Man, yeah, that's just great. What other things have you learned? I know you've only been in the position for, what you said, a year now. But what other things have you learned about the story of the immigration of our German Lutheran ancestors to Perry County that have just been really interesting for you to discover?
Man, I think a lot of it is just realizing what sheer determination they had. And then especially then they came under, in the beginning, under Martin Stephan, Pastor Martin Stephan. Unfortunately, due to a number of different reasons, he was actually ousted as their leader fairly soon. So then there was for a while they kind of floundered. Okay, are we even here legitimately? Should we go back to Germany? Was this a mistake? Did we sin by doing this? Or are we a legitimate church? Are we able to call pastors? And it was actually in 1841 at the Altenburg debate with C.F.W. Walther and Marbach, that actually kind of came to a, Walther was able to convince them that, yeah, and particularly using whether two or three are gathered together, there I am. And it's like, okay, we are here. We are here together. God is with us. We are a church and we can. Mm-hmm. And can go on, can be the church here in America. Mm-hmm. And ultimately leading to the formation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
So how does the Lutheran Heritage Center and Museum document and present this history?
We have some artifacts that came over on the boats with them. We have several Bibles, several other books. We tell the story. We have not only the original log cabin college that you can see and actually go inside, but then we have the First Trinity Church that they built, and then that once they built the new stone church, new because it was built in 1867, that original church became a school for the next 102 years. And so from 1867 to 1869, that was used as a school. And so then once a new school building was built, then they turned that school into a museum. Mm-hmm. And see, and that's still one of the galleries, the first church or big school, as we call it, also is one of our galleries. One of the things I found fascinating is that they call it the big school, not because of its size, because it is by no means big, but because the big students went there. they had the little school that the younger kids were in, and they had the big school that the older kids attended. And so that's because that was one of the things, because even when I first became a volunteer there, they're talking about the big school, and I'm looking at this one room schoolhouse. It's like, that's not big.
That's great. What else? What else do visitors find at the museum?
We have artifacts from the original seven colonies, because they did build seven different colonies, usually around one of the pastors that came over and the people that from their congregations in Germany that came with them kind of settled in different areas. Of those seven, there are three that are still in existence. Altenburg, where we are, being one of them. Frohna, which is just adjacent to Altenburg. And then Uniontown, which actually didn't get the name Uniontown until the Civil War. It was Peitsdorf, but then there was evidently an encampment of Union soldiers there during the Civil War that renamed it Uniontown. And so, but we have artifacts from those seven colonies, some more than others, because there was a fourth one that was around for a while, Wittenberg. And that's actually was the landing place of the immigrants in Perry County, right there on the river, after each successive flood. And then finally, the state of Missouri said, no, you're not. You're not going back. So Wittenberg was disincorporated, but we actually have the altar and pulpit from the church in Wittenberg. Oh. That's there actually in the big school, and that. And then not only with the immigration history, you have a lot of that information, but we also pride ourselves in being kind of a regional history, and that. And so we've got a lot of things that aren't just immigration or even Lutheran related, because mm-hmm. we've got a lot of non-Lutherans that walk through our doors, that hear about us for any particular reason. But we're not on the way to anywhere unless we happen to be going to Tower Rock. But yeah, but we do. And that's part of the purpose of this, is just to try and get the word out that hey, we exist and we have a lot to offer.
Now, you mentioned the log cabin college. Tell us a little bit about that and what you find in that exhibit, which is a building right outside the museum, right?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. We have, to be honest, there's not a lot inside of it right now. We've talked about kind of how we want to present that aspect of it. Now we just kind of have information on kind of the formation of the college. It actually began as more, as a gymnasium, as mm-hmm. they call it, because there was actually, were girls that were in the first class. And so it was more of just a straight school. But then several years later, it transitioned, I guess, once they had other schools that they established in the different settlement areas, then it transitioned to being a seminary. And I should know, but I don't, the number of graduates from that. It's either five or seven that graduated from that log cabin that then became pastors in the soon-to-be LCMS. But then it got moved up to St. Louis because they decided that it needed to be in a more central and more populated area.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you want to know that number, Sarah, you just have to go to the museum to find out the number.
It's true. Exactly. I would like to know. So I'm going to need to go.
You need to come down and see it.
Speaking of learning, there is an opportunity to learn more about this history, and particularly the immigration history related to this. And we're going to talk about that in the upcoming conference taking place in October. We'll share that story in just a moment as we're learning more about the Lutheran Heritage Center and Museum right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth. Am I? How has God gifted me? Where is God calling me to serve? Concordia University St. Paul helps students explore the answers to these questions. Through a Christ-centered Lutheran higher education, dedicated faculty, and engaging academic programs, CSP is here to walk alongside you in your educational journey. With more than 100 degree programs from undergraduate to graduate offered in person and online, CSP aims to prepare you for success however God calls you. Visit csp.edu to discover and engage your calling today.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we're talking with Denise Helwig. She's director of the Lutheran Heritage Center and Museum here in Missouri, in Perry County, Missouri. And the actual name of the town is Altenburg, correct?
Correct.
Altenburg, Missouri, where you can find the Lutheran Heritage Center and Museum. And there's a conference coming up very soon. It's the biennial Immigration History Conference that takes place at the Lutheran Heritage Center and Museum. This year it's called Origins, Sailing, Survival, and Settlement, and it's taking place October 23rd through the 25th. Tell us a little bit more about the history of this conference. This is a biennial conference, right?
Yes, right. Yeah, so it happens every 2 years. So this is actually the first one that I will be involved with since I've only been director there for a year. But my understanding is that this started actually as kind of the brainchild of a history professor at Southeast Missouri State in Cape Girardeau, which is just south of us, but mm-hmm. as a way of just trying to get people more interested in the history of the area and to draw that out more. And so we try and come up with a different topic for the conference each time. And it was actually one of a retired Lutheran school teacher that moved to the area several years ago and has become involved with the museum and is on the conference board. And he's like, he goes, I don't know if everybody else knows about this and I'm just the one that doesn't, but how did this all start? How did we get here? What's this all about? And what was it like for them? And so we decided to kind of flesh that out. And I think we've come up with a pretty good program of topics and of presenters mm-hmm. to talk about that and to answer a lot of those questions like you put to me at the first segment that so many of them, I want to say, well, come to our conference and you'll find out.
That's a fair answer.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, when we're on road trips, you know, driving south through rural Missouri, I mean, I'm thinking, because I like to think about these things on road trips. I mean, you look at the landscapes, like, I couldn't survive on that landscape right now. I would have no idea what I'm doing, but like my ancestors did somehow.
Yep, exactly.
So it's very interesting to learn what they survived, what they did, what they discovered when they came here. So this sounds very interesting to me, at least. Tell us about the presentations that will be happening.
Oh, we have a wide variety, and we're actually kind of divided between those three aspects, like you said, the sailing, the survival, and the settlement. And so the first one will actually start with your first question to me today, as far as why did they leave? What mm-hmm. what was the push? What was the pull? Kind of in that. And then as well as then the actual trip over. We've mm-hmm. got a gentleman who's been reading diaries and other documents of those that made the trip, both the Saxon immigrants, but then also others that came over around that time, because there's not a whole lot that's written about it, but kind of drawing from different things. And so then one that I find particularly exciting that isn't necessarily truly with the immigration, other than it will help us study it. One of our presenters is on the forefront of the whole artificial intelligence movement, and okay. she's developing or attempting to develop something that would help using artificial intelligence to aid in translating the old German handwriting. Cool. So then, because then that's huge, because it's hard to read.
It's very hard to read.
Fewer and further in between. You have to go a whole lot farther to find people who can read it. And so that's what she's working on, and she's doing a presentation. And actually what she's using as a test subject is actually Pastor, well, this is another fascinating thing that I found. I'll say Pastor Labor, mm-hmm. because that's the way that it's pronounced in Perry County. But here in St. Louis and other places, you have Lober Hall at the seminary.
Yeah.
It's called Pastor Lober. So here we can't even agree on how things were pronounced, let alone how things. But Pastor Labor wrote an account of the and that was actually put in the cornerstone of the first church that they built. So we actually have, that's one of the cool things about my job, is that we actually have, it was actually over at Trinity Lutheran Church there in Altenburg, which is just across our parking lot, but they have in their safe the book that Pastor Labor actually wrote that account in. And so I've actually seen it in that. And so, but using that as her test subject, since that has been translated actually at least two different times. And so then that way she can see how her AI does, what she develops, how that does based on how it's been translated already.
That's fascinating, using that technology to help with translating handwritten notes. That's just, and documents. That's fascinating.
That's really cool.
So I see something else on the agenda for the conference that really intrigues me. And this is a tour of area churches that existed prior to the German Lutheran settlements. So tell us a little bit about that tour. And I know this is all new to you as well. So
Exactly. Yeah. So we've got six different churches that were in the area that, like I said, that were already established before the Saxon immigrants got there. A couple Presbyterians, a couple Catholics, a Methodist church. So we're just going to visit those, kind of a dual purpose, both kind of look at the architecture of those churches, but then as well as their history, and then particularly how their history coincides and intersected with the Saxons that came over.
Oh, I see. This includes Apple Creek Presbyterian.
It does.
Which is, I've had the privilege of visiting this before. Have you been in the building before?
I have not.
There's no electricity.
That's right. I've been told that.
There's no running water. It's fascinating. They have a pumper organ.
Nice.
And if you go in on the Christmas Country Church tour, then they have lanterns all over to illuminate the sanctuary. It really is just fascinating. It's Presbyterian, so it's pretty plain in terms of decor. It's really just quite fascinating. So how exciting to get to be in that tour.
Exactly.
And a number of other churches as well. And then Brazos, which I think you referenced that earlier.
They were the ones that were instrumental in helping the Saxon immigrants to survive, particularly that first winter, as far as with food and with information and just, okay, this is what you need to do to survive here.
This is how you survive the frontier.
Literally.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, so you get a tour of area churches that existed prior to the German immigration into the area. What do we need to know we're almost out of time. What do we need to know to attend the conference?
You can go to our website, lutheranmuseum.com. We have a conference 2025 tab there that has more information, including the tentative program for the 3 days, and then also links that you can either download a registration form and send it out and mail it in, or else there's also a link to an online registration form, and then as well as a link to be able to pay the registration. So the registration fee is $275, but for that you get the 3 days worth of presentations, as well as meals, and then also access to our genealogical research library, in which we have all kinds of information of if you suspect that you might have had ancestors that ever lived in Perry County, we've got their information. I can almost guarantee it. And chances are somebody there is going to be related to you.
I was going to say, that is the joke, that if you're Lutheran, you probably have a relative somewhere.
Exactly.
And they might be in Perry County.
Very well might be in Perry County. Exactly.
What about lodging? And joked maybe that Perry County isn't really on the way to anywhere. So
right, yeah.
What is the lodging?
Yeah, well, lodging. We do have a block of rooms reserved at a hotel in Perryville, and you can find that information on our website as well. As well as there are quite a few Airbnbs in the area.
Ooh.
And so that's always an option as well.
That sounds fun.
And so yeah.
Awesome. We'll put the link to lutheranmuseum.com in the show notes so people can find all of that. Anything else happening exciting at the museum coming up?
We do have, very soon, and in fact this week, because we do have a South Gallery that's not too old, but where we have rotating exhibits. And what we're putting up now is actually a local art show.
Oh.
Invited people from the community, from Perry County, that have maybe hidden art talents to loan us their artwork. And then we also, in the middle of November, from November 15th to January 15th, we always have our Christmas tree display, in which we have usually around 50 uniquely decorated Christmas trees. I always like to say some more unique than others. My favorite this past year was the one that had a garden hose as part of its decoration. Yeah. Gardening was its theme, and so it was decorated with a garden hose, amongst other things.
It's a lot of Christmas trees.
Yeah.
That is.
It's really neat. What else can we find on your website? I know before we went on the air, you'd mentioned a blog.
Yes, yes. We have a gentleman that writes a daily blog that what he does is he searches for somebody that had either a birthday or a wedding day or baptismal day for that particular day, and then writes their researches and writes their story. You can find that on the blog tab of our website as well.
Very good. Lutheranmuseum.com. Is that right?
Yes.
You can find more information there. Again, the upcoming conference is October 23rd through the 25th. You can find registration information at LutheranMuseum.com as well. Our guest today, Denise Helweg, Director of Lutheran Heritage Center and Museum in Altenburg, Missouri. Thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.